Ladies and gentlemen, he needs no introduction. Ryan Hamilton. Ryan, thank you so much for being on this, my fake podcast. I appreciate it.
No, this is a real podcast, and I'm happy to be here.
This is real. This is a real studio.
Yeah.
First of all, I already did the intro, but this is this reset what's going on. You and I have known each other for many, many years.
That's right.
And now you're a huge success. And this is what, in the podcast world, we'd call this a get of Ryan Hamilton. Because we go back.
Really?
Yeah,
well, that's
nice. I think so. I mean, when I mentioned it to my wife, she was like, Ryan's going to do it?
What?
And I said, yes, Ryan. We've broken bread with Ryan Hamilton at the house. We're friends.
You're one of my oldest friends in comedy now. You're probably one of the oldest friends in comedy that I talk to regularly. Now, I met a couple people right around you when I started working, but you're the only one that I really kind of talk to anymore.
That's good,
from that
right?
Period. I think so.
That's a compliment.
Yeah. I don't know. I would love to talk to everybody else, but we stayed in touch.
So let's just tell people, we go back to when you were at the very beginning, and I remember seeing you,
yeah.
And I've told you this before, so
yes.
This won't be a shock to anyone.
No.
And a matter of fact, I was a guest on another podcast recently.
Yeah.
And they said, because they always wonder, I own, you know, wise guys for those
yeah.
who don't know, and I see a lot of comedians, and they
yeah.
go, well, can you tell when someone's going to hit or not or whatever? And I have no eyeball for it. I know what I like.
Right.
But I do remember seeing you
yes.
at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And thinking, there's a nice gentleman.
Yeah.
He's friendly. He's got a nice smile. He's got a nice way about him. But I never in my life thought that things would go the way they've gone for you. And that is not
any, no.
That's a disrespect. That's me. That's
no.
all on me because you are killing it, my friend.
Well, thanks. I never thought that either. When we met, I was just doing comedy for fun. I had no career ambition, really. I was doing it for fun. I had another job, if you remember. I was doing public relations, and I really thought if I could get to the point where I'm like the local host at Wise Guys there, that would be my... That would be it. That would be fun for me.
So you're saying that when you first started off, if you could have just made a couple bucks and kept your other job or another job?
Yeah, that's what really, when I really was starting, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I enjoy this. I love writing jokes. I have no concept how a career in this really works. And I had been through college. I had a career path. And I thought, this is fun. I just like it. I thought it would be a fun thing to do on the weekends.
At what point did you say, okay, wait a second, this is more than a hobby? I like this a lot, and I'm going to go for it and push hard.
To be honest, that point came, I'm not even lying, that point came when I got fired from my job. And I got fired, you know, they say I got let go. I really got fired, but I'm still friends with them. It wasn't a good fit. I wasn't good at it.
So they canned you, though? They said, hey, you know what, maybe there's other things that you might want to do in your life? Was it one of those?
Yeah, I was there for a year. I worked really hard to get this job, and a year goes by. I was kind of disillusioned. I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't really performing well. They said that they laid me off. They gave me a nice little severance package and everything, but the position was open. They hired someone immediately after I left. So I didn't really get laid off. I got fired.
So they had their eye on someone else already.
Well, they just knew I wasn't the right fit, and I knew it too, but I didn't have the guts to quit. And I was really enjoying comedy. I mean, it was in the back of my head. And I was doing it a lot. That's what I was thinking about. That's what, you know, so I was writing jokes at work and stuff like that.
So do you think that was comedy was a distraction for your
yeah, I think
other
so.
Pursuit?
Yeah. And I started to really get interested in it a lot. But even after I got fired, I remember walking out into the parking lot with a box of things and being like, I got to find another job.
Were you sad?
Oh, yeah, I was really
it
sad.
It hurts.
Yeah, I was sad.
Even if you, I remember quitting a couple of jobs
yeah.
that I didn't want to do anymore.
Yeah.
But then it still hurt my feelings
yes.
when they said, okay.
Yeah.
Like even when I say, you know, I think I'm done here. They go, okay, we agree. Whoa. You're supposed to beg. You're supposed to want me to stay. Well, what's going on? Then it hurts.
Yeah.
And then for a while, you got to kind of lay low.
Yeah. I didn't have the guts to quit. I wish I did. But it was one of the best things that happened to me, you know, because I got this job as a valet parking cars, and I started to look for another job. But I was doing comedy, and I was enjoying it. And then I got offered to do some little, you know, one-nighter things here and there, make $100 and drive deep into Montana and almost die. And, you know, and I was like, I like this.
Did something happen in Montana?
Oh, all sorts of things always happen. But I remember the first road gig I really did. It was in a blizzard. Somebody canceled, and they called me. I had 15 minutes.
Was it up for Tribble?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a triple gig in Miles City, Montana.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
Yep. And I remember, you know, I was like driving through. I was like, well, of course somebody canceled. You can't even get here.
Right.
Like, it was just snowing. Like, I was like white knuckling it for hours and hours and hours and got to the gig. And yeah, it was crazy. I mean, someone headbutted me at the bar that night.
Was that before or after the show?
That was after the show.
Okay, all right.
But it was because this woman, she wanted to buy me a drink, and I don't drink. And I said, thank you, I don't drink. And she just started to get angry, and I didn't know how to leave a situation. And she just grabbed me by the back of the head and went, crack. You know, she was inebriated. And everybody, I just remember everybody pointing and laughing as I walked out into the blizzard. And I was like, this is comedy, I guess. But I kept doing that. For some reason, I could do that, but I couldn't do the job I was supposed to
do. So you could get in the car, you could drive that far, drive through snow, feel like you might spin out.
Who knows? Yeah, and I felt it was romantic to me at that time. It was like, wow, I made $100. This is amazing.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember doing that.
Yeah.
I remember one time, talking about snow, talking about Montana, I was driving to, Great Falls. So I was between Butte and Great Falls, Montana.
Yep.
I know you know it.
Yep.
It's on the I-15 just going straight north like you're going to Canada. And I had my Geo Metro, which was legendary. And I was by myself going to do a gig in Great Falls, Montana. And there was just so much snow. And I was kind of going down. It wasn't a steep hill, but it was a hill nonetheless. And ice everywhere. And my car did a 360. Now, I'm on the freeway. I'm probably going 40 or 50, which was way too fast. I did a 360. And I just remember looking like in slow motion, and then it straightened out after 360 kept going.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is insane.
No way.
And I remember going there and doing the gig.
Yeah.
And you sometimes wonder why
nobody
you do
knows
it.
Nobody knows what you went through to get there. It's just like this weird thing. You show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, then you're gone.
They're like, hey, okay, do your jokes. You're like, you know, I almost died, right?
Yeah.
It's like, no, we don't care. We want to hear stuff.
That's right.
Oh, man. So you've got it going on. You started doing open mic.
Yeah.
Now, you moved around a little bit. You lived in Seattle for a while.
I went to Seattle for a year because I really got interested. And I said, at a certain point, I was doing, after I started doing those one-nighters, I said, I want to do this full-time and give it a shot for a year. And at that time, we had the club, which was great, and there was good stage time. I was getting really good weekend stage time here, mm-hmm. which you wouldn't get other places. And, but I wanted to get on stage every night because I felt like if I'm doing this full time, if I'm not on stage every night, then I'm wasting my time.
Right.
So this was like 2 years in or something. So I went to Seattle because I knew, you know, you introduced me to some people up there. I knew that there was stage time every night. And I got this tiny little apartment. It was like concrete floors. I shared it with a kid. We had a bare light bulb hanging down. It doesn't even sound real, but I lived behind a comedy club, and I just did that for a year.
Was that the Underground?
It was Giggles over in the U District.
Yes, and it's still there under a different name.
Yes, now it's a different...
It's Laughs.
It's Laughs
with
now.
With our buddy Chili Dog.
Yeah, that's right. And he was great to me there, and I got into that Seattle comedy competition there, and I didn't even make the finals, but I made the industry night. I won the industry night, and that was like the first time I met anybody from L.A. or anything like that. And they took me down to L.A., and I got a manager, and CBS sent me on some auditions, and I got a studio test for an audition. Nothing happened. I was in LA for like 5 days, and I was back on the road for years.
So do you want to act? Because when you say you had the CBS, was that for acting gigs?
Yeah.
Was that sitcom type stuff?
Well, at that time, I didn't know what I was doing. I had studied acting in Salt Lake, really, a little bit. I had taken some acting classes here, this like kind of weekly thing where I just thought, this is interesting. I'm all in, so I'm doing everything I can.
Right.
So I found this acting class. I was like, let's do this. See if I get some commercials or something. That's kind of what I was thinking. So I had a little experience, but I didn't really know what I was doing. But yeah, I've always kind of dabbled in it. But stand-up has been my true love, and it's like that's the first thing I always do acting if it comes up, but it's always kind of second.
Do you still want to act at all?
Yeah, I enjoy it. If I can find the right thing, I really like it, but I get a lot of anxiety about finding the right thing. Like, you know, or if I get an audition, most of the time it's I go, okay, I'm going to go in for this, but I kind of hope I don't get it. Or
have you auditioned for any parts of note where you know who got the part that is someone that you could, and you don't have to tell me, but I'm just wondering if there's someone you go, hey, that I auditioned for that. And that guy got it. And maybe they changed the role a little bit.
Yeah.
But maybe there was a role that you were up for, or at least auditioned for.
Oh, yeah, that happens so many times. I can't even think of a good one right now. I remember I was doing a bunch of auditions. I was out in L.A. This was just a few years ago for pilot season. You mm-hmm. go out there, and to keep me busy, these agents was like, who came out here? They have pressure on them to get me auditions. So they were sending me out stuff that I was like, well, this is like supporting Matthew McConaughey, and I'm like, okay. You know, and then I see you're sitting in the movie theater a year later, and you're like, oh, I know these lines, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really weird. But yeah, I've got done little things here and there. I enjoy it, but nothing ever really has hit for me.
Oh, you're in the movie with De Niro.
Yeah, I was. I was in a movie with De Niro. Yeah.
Yeah. Now the name of the movie, what was it? Comedian? What was it?
A comedian. Yeah.
Comedian. And it was one where De Niro played
a
comic, right?
Yeah, he played a comedian. I played myself, essentially. It was just me on stage. So I wasn't really acting, but yeah.
So did you audition to... So you did... there was like a clip of stand-up in... And I didn't see that.
Right.
Can you tell I didn't see that? Did you
it's
see
okay.
that? Have you seen the movie?
I went to a premiere. I went to a premiere and
Ooh.
I saw the movie. And I went to like the premiere that the stars don't go to. Like
the next one.
It was like, yeah. But it was nice. You know, my buddies were there. There were a lot of comedians in it. And I'd heard about this movie for years around New York. It was a passion project for De Niro.
So De Niro played, to set it up a little bit, played a disgruntled comic kind of?
He was like a comedian who was a big star, but had kind of been washed up.
Right.
And he was kind of, but he was a really like almost like a Don Rickles type of comedian. And, you know, really harsh and liked to go after people. And this is kind of, it was kind of a resurgence of his career, a comeback story with a love story mixed in there.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie Mann played the other lead, I think.
Did Apatow produce this one?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I was only there. I was only on the shoot like one night, but so I didn't really get to know the crew much. But yeah, they had the director came to a show. He was just bouncing around New York. He came to a show that I was on at the Comedy Cellar, and apparently De Niro was there. I didn't even know, but after I got off stage, they were like, "So just so you know, De Niro's here with the director."
So was this at the Comedy Cellar?
Yeah, it was at the Comedy Cellar,
the famed Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
So you were on stage and you didn't know that De Niro was in the audience.
Yeah.
And no other comic mentioned it and said, "Hey, dude, De Niro's down
well,
there."
I guess I just ran in and I was kind of like, and people show up at the Comedy Cellar, you never really know. It wasn't like they were hiding it from me, but I just I don't know. I didn't talk to anybody before I went
right.
on stage or whatever. And then like a week later, I got a call from the director, and he said, hey, we're interested in this. Why don't you, send us what kind of material you'd want to do if you wanted to be on the show? So I sent them some stuff, and then they said, yeah, let's do it. So they had an actual show set up. It was like doing a regular show, but they had cameras and everything.
And that was at the...
That was at the Comedy Cellar also, so
okay.
That's how that worked. But yeah, it was real crazy.
So when you did the premiere, De Niro wasn't there then?
He was supposed to be, but I think he couldn't make it. But it was a premiere, a special premiere for, it was like at the Directors Guild Theater in New York. So it was like an industry
right.
type premiere.
But that's cool.
It was so cool.
Was there a red carpet and everything?
No, it wasn't like a publicity premiere, but it was like for the industry. So the director was there, a bunch of this crew was there, all of my comedian friends were there, my manager came, we watched the thing.
Peter.
Yeah, Peter. You know Peter.
I love Peter.
Yeah. Been working with him for like 10 years now or more, but I got to sit there with my manager, Peter, and the thing and watch the credits go up and go see Ryan Hamilton played by himself, Ryan Hamilton.
That's awesome.
That
man.
Was cool, yeah.
Can I tell you my dumb story?
Yes, please.
A movie I was in?
Yeah.
So I was in a movie a long time ago. Long time ago, and Giancarlo Esposito was in it. So he's the guy, if you see Breaking Bad, he played Gus.
Okay.
He was in like all the Spike Lee movies. So
he's
I'm in
great.
This movie
yeah.
with John. It was like when I first got down to LA. I'm in a movie, and I play this horrible cop named Walter. That was my name. Walter was my name. And I play this horrible racist cop, and Giancarlo's in it, and then I end up getting shot and killed and all that. So I had a couple friends of mine. They did a screening in Hollywood somewhere at some theater that, one of these historic theaters. And no one was there. It was truly me and my friend, comedian Jeff Brown, who you know Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
So Jeff Brown, I said, Jeff, you got to come see this movie. Giancarlo's in it. I'm in it. Let's see it. And we watched it, and the credits rolled, right? Because that's what you're waiting for. You're waiting for your scene and whatever. They misspelled my name not once, but twice. They misspelled my first and my last name in this thing. So they spelled Keith, K-I-E-T-H. I'm like, for crying out loud. The only thing they spelled right was Walter, which isn't even me. It was a fake racist dude. And then Stubbs with one B. So I sat through that whole, I'm not saying it was a great movie. I'm not going to tell you that.
That's a bummer.
But it's like, that's what you want. You need some sugar, right? Doing this, you do need some.
Yes.
It's nice to get some nice feedback.
Yes.
And that wasn't good feedback.
Right. That's a bummer. But I don't know. I was just thrilled to be like, I'd forgotten I was even in that movie until you brought it up. It's like crazy how those things go by.
Now, was that before or after the Netflix special?
Let's see. I think that was before. Yeah, I think that was before.
Dude, you got it wrong. The Netflix special, fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
And I think that's the one that, would you not agree, that's just kind of, it was a game changer, right?
Yeah, that moved the needle a little bit. That was the first thing I did. You know, these things kind of add up, and you don't know what's helping really, but you just kind of do everything. But that one, I felt like, oh, that bumped the needle up a little bit. Like, I started, you know, being able to, I would show up at the show and it would be full of people who were like, knew the jokes. And I thought, oh, okay, this is different.
How's that affect what you're doing? I mean, that's great. And it's nice to have fans because you always want fans.
Right.
But then you go, wow, they know what this bit is.
Well, when it first came out, it was really scary because the turnaround on that Netflix special was really fast.
So like, you didn't have time to work on new stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I'd kind of been trying to go for a special and they didn't have a slot. And then they called me last minute and said, hey, look, this just popped up. You want it or not, but you got to be done in 5 weeks. Oh. And I was like, okay, so I did it. But that meant that I put just the best of the best that I had. And so I was out of material as soon as that came out. So I was, and I had these people who wanted to come see me all of a sudden. So those first few months were like crowd work. You know, like,
where are you from? Nice shirt?
Yeah, working on real loose premises and like, you know, you remember this joke? I'm going to alter a line, you know.
Try to create.
Yeah. But it was fun.
Were you involved in the editing at all?
Yes. I flew out to L.A. and I sat there for 3 days with the director and tried to be on every decision.
Now, did they do a rough cut of the special and then present it? So you didn't have to be there for the excruciating every angle.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
That would be tough. They sent me, basically after the shoot, they go, so what do you think? Which show do you want to be the kind of the base show? And I go, let's do this show and maybe not this big chunk here. And so I kind of gave them some directions on the rough cut. And then they send it to me. And then I go, I got to go out there because, you know, as a comedian, you just know the material so well. Mm-hmm. You're like, I want people to see my face right here. I want it to be wide right here,
mm-hmm.
which people don't think about. But maybe it wouldn't make a difference. But I know what I want. So you got to go.
Did they do audience shots?
No, we had a wide shot from the back, but I specifically didn't want to see the audience.
Up close, someone cackling?
Yeah, we didn't have that.
None of that. They'll do that, though.
Yeah, they'll do that, but, you know,
but
I don't know.
You don't want it in there.
I think it's kind of distracting, personally.
You want to hear another story?
Yeah.
I probably told you this one. I did an evening at the Improv. Long time. That was a TV show for those who are old.
Yeah.
If you're old, you know exactly. Well, you know what the show is.
I grew up watching Evening at the Improv.
So, A&E had this TV show called An Evening at the Improv, and it was on every week. And it was
a big deal.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
And I was on that way before I should have been on it. But to cut to the story about the audience, they did a live edit, which is dangerous.
Yes.
So, for those who don't know what that is, they basically edit camera one, camera two, camera three as they're going, and hoping that they're on the right camera when you tell the joke. And, of course, they cut away during my setup or maybe during the punchline. And then they cut to some people eating.
Oh, no.
Like eating nachos or fries or whatever it was. So I'm doing a joke that allegedly is funny, gets a laugh, right?
Right.
Ha, 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 ha. And then they cut to someone chewing.
Oh, no.
That's why I always ask anybody that does a thing, I go, do they do audience shots? Because they did on mine, and it was horrific.
Yeah, I don't like them. I mean, I feel like it can help sometimes, but I like a special. If you watch a special, and it takes you away from the show. When I'm watching a show, I don't turn around to see the other people laughing. You know,
no.
I want it to be like, this is me, as much as it possible, feel like I'm at a show.
So who do you like out there? I know some of your friends. There's some great comedy. I know you don't want to name... But I mean, Gary Goldman is a fantastic comic.
Gary is just
and
killing
a good friend.
Right. Yeah, he's a great friend. We were roommates for 4 years, and he's just masterful writer and performer. But what he's got right now is just fantastic. And he's got a special coming out on HBO this month. And he's in that new movie, The Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to have a big month.
I saw that clip.
So October is going to be big for him.
So you guys lived together for 4 years?
4 years in New York.
That's a long time. That's a long time with anybody, right?
It flew by. It's crazy how I can't believe I've been in New York that long.
No, the 4 years living with Gary flew by?
All of it. All of New York. I've been in New York like 11 years. And yeah, all of it. It was just like Gary showed up. I didn't even know him. Robert Kelly introduced us. And Gary was like, I think I need to get back into New York. And I said, well, you know, he goes, I don't got a place to live. I said, well, come check out this place. I think we got an empty room. And he goes, okay. And then we were friends.
That's great.
Yeah, it was great. For 4 years. He's still one of my best friends.
He's really got it.
Yeah.
He's got it cranking right now.
Yeah. And he just works, you know. If you're interested in writing, he's got his Goldman tips that he puts out on Twitter.
And I see those.
Yeah, every day. He's got like a few hundred of them.
I didn't know there were that many tips.
Yeah, he's got a lot of tips.
If I was giving out tips, there'd be like three. There'd be three. He has 200 and something, and it's still going.
Yeah, he keeps doing it.
And they're going strong.
Yeah, I think people like it because, you know, you're alone when you're out there. It's like, it's nice to know there's someone who's got these same issues that
yes,
you got.
And the majority of those do resonate.
Yeah.
Where you read them and go, wow, this is wise.
Yeah.
This guy's really done it.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I got to talk about the Tonight Show. You were on the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yep. Last week. Yeah, it's a week ago yesterday.
Okay, you did Colbert.
Yep.
You've done Conan. You've done all the stuff.
Yep.
But you did the Tonight Show with Fallon. You murdered.
Oh,
now,
thanks.
Does everyone get a standing ovation? Because I've been there a couple of times. You stood them up, brother. That was a great, great set.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, that was pretty surreal. I mean, it was kind of cool. I felt pretty comfortable because I'd done TV enough. It takes a bunch of times doing this where you feel comfortable. But I hadn't done that show, but I knew the gig. I knew the routine.
So leading up to it, you knew that you're on. So they have like a list of comedians, or they'll notify your management and say, okay, yes, we're interested in Ryan if Ryan wants to do it. And did they give you like a time frame that in the next month, in the next two months, or sometime?
I'd kind of been putting off doing another late night because I don't know. I burned all this material in the Netflix special, and it takes me a long time to generate this stuff. So I was kind of scared to put it out there. But we got to a point where I have this tour coming up this fall, so I really wanted to do a spot. And they'd been, you know, I'd met the booker a few times, and he told me, when you want to do something, let us know. We'll work on it. So we went to them, and they said, great, we got a spot, and they gave me a date right away. And then the date was crazy. The date was supposed to be this week, actually. It was supposed to be tomorrow. I was supposed to do it. But I would have had to – I'm in Utah now, obviously. I would have had to fly all night and then do the show. So I didn't want to do the date. So they called
me. That's a burnout.
Yeah. So I said, if you got any cancellations, let me know. They had a cancellation come up on a Friday, and they said, do you want to do it on Tuesday? And I said, okay. But I didn't even have the set ready. I hadn't even prepared it yet. So I went to town that weekend.
But you knew pretty much what you were going to do, right?
No, actually.
So you had no idea what material you'd do?
I knew I had some options. I had a few options in my head. I was like, I could do this or I could do this. And then I just chose one. And then I just went to town editing it. Because if I do all those jokes that I did on the Tonight Show full, it's like that's like 12 minutes. So I had to get it down to like 4:45.
So did you cut some of the fat out of the jokes?
Yeah, so I had to cut a bunch of stuff.
To make it like tags and parts of the joke?
Yeah.
Now, did you have to submit that to the booker, that material?
Yeah, eventually you do. I mean, normally you would have the material submitted before you get the date. But in this case, they made me an exception.
Now, was that like a transcript?
Yeah, for that show, it's a transcript. It's not always a transcript, but for that show, they wanted word-for-word transcript.
So if you had a video, they'd say, that's great, that's nice, but we still want a transcript.
Yeah, I submitted both. They wanted both.
Now, does that go to standards and practices to make sure you're not going to say something that's...
I think that's why NBC, that's how they do it. They wanted the transcript for standards and practices.
Do they do that to tell you what to do or to protect themselves just in case you do something they don't want done? Or is it both?
I guess it's both. I don't know. I've never really had them edit anything.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people do have stuff that they needed edited, but I've never really run into much issue with it. So I don't know. I've always submitted stuff and they go, okay.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm lucky, I think.
So you live in New York City. Did they pick you up in a limo to get you to the Tonight Show?
They did pick me up in a big black SUV, which was kind of nice. But,
So instead of taking the train or cab or whatever else?
Right. I take the train. Sometimes I don't take the car, but, I had my clothes. I don't want to schlepped my clothes down there, whatever. So, yeah, I took the car. It's now, nice.
How long before the actual set did you have to be on where, it's NBC Studios.
Yeah, so you're 30 at 30 Rock, right there. It's pretty fast. The taping's at 5. Your call time is 3 o'clock. And then you do a run-through on stage where the stage manager goes, here's where you're going to walk when you get on stage. Here's where you need to look. Here's where the cameras are going to be. Jimmy's going to be behind you over here. The Roots are over here to your left. Just get a handle on the layout. And then
awesome.
When you come off, here's what's going to happen. Jimmy's going to come over, say hello.
So at 3 o'clock when you got there, you rolled in. Is your stomach in knots? Because mine is right now. You're telling me this. This is crazy.
My stomach was in knots on Friday when I didn't have the set. But by Sunday, Monday, I felt pretty good. And then I was like, after I got the set down, I was like, I felt pretty good.
Did you do sets Monday night? So the night before, were you on stage working through it?
So the producer of my segment and the booker, he came by and saw me Monday night. And I did a couple of sets. But Sunday night, I think I did 6 sets. Saturday, I was working in California theater, so I couldn't do a bunch of sets. But Thursday, Friday, I did like 6 sets a night, just this 5 minutes.
So you show up at 3 o'clock, you got a SUV, you got a driver.
Nice. You get out and people are standing around. It's kind of nice. People look at you. Like, people don't know who they're looking at, but they're like, that's somebody.
Is there a certain entrance where, so if Jeremy Renner shows up or whoever, that's where, so you are one of those?
Well, I learned that they do have an underground entrance.
Okay.
But when
Cruise is there, he comes in.
Yeah, but I didn't even get the underground entrance. Offered. It wasn't even offered to me. You know, it's kind of fun to walk out of the car and be like, you got your clothes.
Did you have your sunglasses on? Did you have shades
on? No, I think I took them off.
Oh, you got to have them on.
But it's so funny because a friend of mine was there at the show when I got out of the car, and I hadn't seen her in a long time. This is a funny story, I'll tell you. So the person, I do this joke about falling down, and that's a real story. I fell down after a date, after talking about dating.
Right.
So, but that person had not heard, this girl hadn't heard the joke. And it was kind of like, not that she would have cared, but I wanted her to know that it was going to be on TV. And I hadn't seen her since I fell down after that date. So I texted her, I was like, hey, this came up quick. I'm doing this joke. This is weird, but I just wanted you to know. And then she was like, oh, I love that joke. And then I was thought, well, I have these comp seats. Do you want to come? Because I would just happen fast. I didn't have anybody to invite. So she came to the show. I hadn't seen her since I fell down. And then I get out of the car, and she's standing there. I was like, hi, how you doing? I'm going to go do this joke about when I fell down, but I'll see you in the audience. So that was kind of funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So did you meet Jimmy before, after, or was it just...
Before and after. He was really nice. He likes to come by, and he talked, and, you know, he loves stand-ups.
Yeah.
And so he loves to talk about stand-ups. So we talked about comedy, and we talked about him opening for Brian Regan on the road back in the day, and he just loves stand-up. So it's fun. It's like talking to another comedian. And then after the show, he came running up the hallways like, I got a meeting, but I just wanted to come say hi, and... He was really nice.
He seems genuine.
Yeah, he was nice. He was super nice.
Now, also on the show was
Jennifer Lopez?
J-Lo?
Yeah.
Hustler? The movie Hustler? I keep hearing about it. I don't know. Have you seen it?
I have not seen the movie.
Did you talk to her?
I didn't talk to her. I didn't try to talk to her.
Is she surrounded by her people?
Yeah, she's got people around. And, you know, they did that big dance number. When you get there, it's all happening fast. And all the artists on the show are in their own thing. They all got, so it's just like wardrobe, urine, makeup. You kind of cross in the hallway. But all the times I've done those shows, I've never really talked to people much. Except Bradley Cooper on Conan. He wanted to talk. He was cool. And after my set, he talked to me for like 10 minutes about comedy.
Was that weird?
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Was it surreal as you're talking? Like, I can't believe he's talking to me?
Yeah, because it was one of those moments where you do your set and you're last on the show, and then he comes out to, like, say goodnight, and then it's, you know those moments on TV where you see, like, people talking, but and they're like, what are they talking about?
Right.
It was like, I'm doing that right now with Bradley Cooper. But he was so cool. He's a big comedy fan.
Has there been any contact with any of these famous people since then? Like, have you run into anyone, or did they remember you? Did you exchange phone number? Does any of that ever happen, or is it just a one-off?
Bradley is such a nice guy, but I was at the Cellar one night, and Dave Chappelle came in, and I was just standing there, and he brought a bunch of people in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this must have been after A Star Is Born, because I think they're pals from that movie, maybe. So I'm going to watch Chappelle. So I'm standing there, and he brings a bunch of people, and I'm just standing there. There's only standing room. And I find myself, Bradley Cooper, shoulder to shoulder. Like, he's next to me. And I'm like, this was like 4 years ago. But we had a 10-minute conversation.
Right.
But I can tell he's engaged in Chappelle. Like, right. He's wanting to watch. But I'm standing there for a while, and I'm like, I don't know. What do I do? And I just kind of like, after a applause break or something, I go, hey, Bradley, we did Conan like 4 years ago. And he looked at me, and I don't know if he recognized me or what. I don't even know if he heard me. And this much happened to him all the time. But he just kind of nodded his head like that. And I was like, okay. I wish I wouldn't have said that.
So it means we're friends, right?
Yeah, right.
We're pals.
He meets so many people, but he was so cool and nice. And so it's weird, I guess. Occasionally you do run into these people again. It's kind of a small world, but I mean, I'm not on that level, but you know, I've been opening for Seinfeld, and that is on that level. And he and Bradley Cooper are actually legitimate friends.
So if Bradley Cooper sees Seinfeld,
yeah,
and you, he'll go, oh, maybe?
Maybe.
Or maybe he'll just talk to Seinfeld.
Yeah, I don't know.
How many gigs are you doing with Seinfeld a year? Are you doing a lot?
Well, it's only been like a year and a half or 2 years I've been working with him, but I just do, I don't know. It seems like it's like maybe once a month for quite a while. I don't know.
Well, we
like
saw
that.
You yeah. in New York at yeah. the, what's the theater?
The Beacon Theater?
Oh, that yeah. was awesome.
That
yeah,
was
we
cool.
saw you at the Beacon when you.
Right.
And I think. I feel like it was the first time you opened for him, but I could
it
be wrong.
It might have been. It might have been. It's, yeah, those Beacons are really fun. He does a bunch of them, and it's such a great gig for me because
yeah.
I'm home. I can walk to that theater from where I live, and, you know, I get to open for Seinfeld, hang out. We go get pizza, and then I sleep in my own bed, and it's like, it's surreal. I don't even, I go home, and, you know, he likes to hang out, so it's just us hanging out.
Does he text you ever?
Yeah. He texted me about the Tonight Show. He's like, I saw your set. Excellent work. Really good. We're working together this weekend, so we'll get to catch up on it.
God, that's awesome.
It's really, he's a great guy, and he loves comedy. And he wants to be a comedian. Like, he's like all of us comedians just hanging out.
Right.
That's what he likes, you know? And it's just like he's at another level, but that's what he likes.
When are you going to be on his TV show? Comedians in Cars. Every year when they announce, or I don't know how often they announce it, the new...
I don't know. I don't know that I've known him since he's really cast it that way, but, you know, he uses a lot of big names, too. Every time I work with him, I just go, this is a master class in comedy, and to get to talk to him, and it just elevates what I do. Like, he's such a professional, it makes me want to be a more professional in his life. He's got it dialed in, and the approach he takes to taking care of himself is about his work. You know, he's like, I need to take care of myself because I want to work at this level. And it makes me go, this is serious. I want to work like this. So I've gained so much from working with him that every time I work with him, I go, if nothing else ever happened with this, I would be thrilled with where we're at.
Now, when you say take care of himself, what do you mean by that?
Well, he works out every day, pretty much. He meditates twice a day. He got me into meditating, actually.
You meditate?
Yeah.
So what do? You sit that cross-legged? How do you do that?
Well,
you sit in a chair?
TM, Transcendental Meditation, is
okay.
what I do.
Is there music?
No music.
People tell me I need to do it. They say, Keith, you're wound up. You need to need to bring it down. So I'm asking this for me.
Yeah, well,
the other people that don't know what it is.
Look, I had been doing guided meditations on my own for a while just because I was trying to get my anxiety levels normal. This job's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I was tired and working a lot and on the road. And I remember we were in L.A. and Seinfeld had been working like crazy. Like he was on, I think he just finished Comedians in Cars, and we had four big shows at the Pantages in L.A. I was drained, and all I was doing was his shows and just kind of coming off the road. And he sat me down and goes, Ryan, we got to have a conversation. I go, okay. He goes, I think you need to, I just want you to know that there's something that can help you. I know maybe you're tired, and I know that comedians get tired and you're working a lot. And there's this thing that can help you. I just want you to know about it. I've been doing it for 40 years or whatever. And check it out if you want. It wasn't like a thing, but he is an advocate for it. And I'd been doing some other kind of meditation, but it's got me doing it more regularly. And it makes you go, like, I can handle this. Like, I can handle it now.
So,
feel
so
better.
What, you do this in, so if you're on the road, you're in a hotel room.
Yeah.
You sit on the floor. Do you have
you
a mat?
You just sit in a chair. No, you just sit in a chair.
I know nothing about this.
Yeah,
can you tell?
Right. Well, you just learn. It's pretty simple. I mean, if you really want to do the Transcendental Meditation, you can take a course, which is what I did. You go, like, it's like a four-day course once a day. It's real easy, simple.
Is it long?
No, it's like an hour. It's real easy. You got to do it 4 days in a row, though, because it's basically just practicing.
And as you take this class for 4 days in a row, you notice a difference in that.
Yeah, especially during the class, because it's like you're doing it twice. If you do it twice a day, 20 minutes twice a day is what I try to do, but I generally get in one. But if I'm really disciplined and I'm cranking on all cylinders and I'm doing two, I can tell the difference.
So let me ask you this. Did you meditate before this?
No.
Because of this, will you need to meditate afterwards?
I'm going to have to go. I got a show tonight, and I do need to. I'm going to have to meditate. Now, this didn't make me... It's just a thing if you do it normally, consistently, like you handle stuff better. I say no to the things I need to say no to. That's where I get a lot of my anxiety.
Being asked to do things that maybe you don't want to do?
Yeah.
Like this podcast?
No, this was not one of them.
Okay.
But I don't do a lot of podcasts, to be honest. It does give me some anxiety, but this one was not one.
Is it because of the uncertainty?
Yeah, I just don't want to... I don't know. I'm a pretty private person. And a lot of these long-form interviews, I'm just, I don't know, I'm not cut out for it.
Is this long-form?
I guess this is long-form, but this is, I know you, so I trust you. It's right. Easier.
Because we're going to go eat after this, and this conversation will continue like this.
Yeah, right. This is just us talking. Yeah.
All right, Ryan, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
His name is Ryan Hamilton, great friend. Ryan Hamilton, your website, tell the people.
RyanHamiltonLive.com.
Oh, come on.
I couldn't get my name. There's another guy who wants to
sell
it to me.
Yeah, you're talking about, I'm not going to bring that up. I'm not going to bring that
it's
up.
Fine. But that's, it's
yeah,
fine.
Well, I'm not going to bring that up. Yeah. But it's RyanHamiltonLive.com. He's doing theaters. He's hanging out with all the muckety mucks, and he's hanging out with us right here. Thanks a lot,
this
buddy.
This was so fun. Appreciate it.
Thanks for doing it.